All right, we started a series a few weeks ago called The Spirit of Victory. Go ahead and turn over to 2 Corinthians 2:14. We'll start there. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Praise God. Everybody there? It says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place." It says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." How often?
Always.
Always. Always. What does always mean? 5 out of 10 times? 9 out of 10? 99 out of 100? No, always. He always leads us in triumph. In the God's Word translation on your sheet there, it says, "But I thank God who always leads us in victory." He always leads us in victory because of Christ. Couple other scriptures on your sheet there. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. He gives us the victory through your strength and your wisdom and your knowledge. Is that what it says? It says through our Lord Jesus Christ. We look to Him. We lean on Him. But He said it's always. He gives us the victory. He gives us the victory. Praise God. Now we may come back to these, but I just to set the stage a little bit. 1 John 5:4 on your sheet there says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." Are you born of God? If you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're reborn. You're born again. You're born of God. People say, "Well, I don't know about my family tree." You know, they talk about, people get into generational curses and stuff like this. This is what you need to know about your family tree. God is your father. That's it. Jesus is your brother. Yeah, but blah, blah, blah about the, you know, well, this person 500 years ago and they gave into this. What you need to know about your family tree, that's your natural family tree. Yes, there's some dumb stuff that people did, and there might be some dumb stuff. I wouldn't even say might be. There is some dumb stuff in your family line, my family line, because we're all humans. And if nothing else, we all go back up to Adam, and we know how that worked out. Huh? So, all of us have some stuff in our family tree. Some people just get in pride about, "Well, my family," or, you know, might be people, or they're right. Well, that's just pride, because we're all human. We've all fallen short, sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. Did I lose somebody there? No, our families have all messed up somewhere. So you have an imperfect family tree. Everybody is dealing with some sort of junk. You might have had a great upbringing, but you still, you know, you live in this earth, you bumped into this world, and, you know, your parents weren't perfect, and their parents weren't perfect, and you dealt with some stuff. So that's naturally. Spiritually, so people get off in the weeds about this stuff, and, "Well, you know, you got to go way back." Well, you're not going to go all the way back. How far back are you going to go to deal with some of it? We got to deal with it in the Spirit. This is how you deal with it in the Spirit. You're born of God. Your Father is God. End of story. Yeah. Now move on. Amen. The other stuff just gets you confused. I'm not saying you're not dealing with certain things that you dealt with behaviors, but spiritually, you start actually yielding to the bad stuff when you start putting focus on it. Amen. You say it can't be that simple. Oh, yes, it's that simple. People just try to get into this stuff and they confuse themselves. It appeals to your flesh and your pride to know. Well, we see, because it's a we got to know about this. This is how you deal with this stuff. You got to go way back. You got to deal with it. That sounds like psychology. See, God's simple. You don't think God's power is enough that you just get in there? If He's your Father, and He said He always gives you the victory, you just need to know God's my Father, Jesus is my big brother, I'm coming over. All that other stuff, forget it. Put it behind you. Forget it. It can torment you. Because you know what? You think, well, the devil come and tell you, well, you got to go back and deal with it. That's torment. Because how are you possibly going to go back and deal with it? You don't know enough to go deal with everything. You know everything everybody did in your ancestors? Are you kidding me? You know. How would you know? You don't know. So how are you going to deal with it all? You can't. This is how you deal with it. You deal with it saying, I've been born of God. I'm in a new family now. That's how my flesh was born. But as for spiritually, I'm born again. I have a Father, and that's it. The flesh is the flesh. Forget about it. I mean, thank God for our heritage, but you got to put the first things first. You're a spirit. You realize your body's going to go in the grave. And yes, you inherited some stuff, you know, how you do certain things. But even that, we got to put that on the altar and say, God, like we prayed, show me what's right with where I am and show me what's wrong. I'm going to line up my life with your word. I don't care what my family's been doing and if they've been doing it for 1,000 years. If it's wrong, I'm changing. Amen. Amen. We don't want to line up with the family tree. We want to line up with the word of God. Amen. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We believe, not you, that you're just working real hard like what we were talking about in communion. No, you believe that what God said. So if God said it's simple, you say, yes, sir, it's simple. You don't go, oh, we got to make it hard. No, I just believe. You come to God like a child. You know, children don't overcomplicate things. You got a 3-year-old, they don't know enough to overcomplicate it. You try to talk about complicated stuff, they just look at you like, and then they'll just repeat what they believe, you know? Because they don't know what you're talking about. And we like to get just real complicated about stuff. It's pride. Well, this is the way you got to know this. You got to go through this 7-step process or 12-step process. You got to know this before you can get free. No, you don't. You just know God and say, He set me free. Okay, I'm free. And then you start walking free. Can it be that easy? Yeah, it can be that easy. Hallelujah. So, we started talking about this a couple weeks ago. I encourage you, go back and listen to the messages. The couple, they're available. That's why they're available. We're not going to repeat every time, everything. But we talked a couple weeks ago. We started out talking about... We kind of segued from our last series talking about storms of life and that they do come. So we're talking about the spirit of victory, okay? But people get the wrong idea. They think, okay, spirit of victory, I believe God will always lead us in triumph. That means that I'll never have another challenge. That's not what it means. These people misunderstand. And in what we would call word and faith circles, people that have gotten a hold of the message of faith and that you can believe God and that God is a good God and He's actually for you, somewhere people will get this idea that somehow you don't ever have any challenges in life, that because of that, because you now know you've heard the truth, that, you know, you will never be bothered by another challenge. That's not true. And if you believe that, you're going to be disappointed. Now, that's not a bad confession. I'm not confessing bad things over you. I'm not saying you're going to have problems specifically, and it's not God bringing them. I'm just saying you live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. It's under a curse. We're not under a curse, but the world is. We realize that? The Bible says in Romans, the whole world is groaning under the weight, the world. You know, the world is getting more and more messed up, but it's because of humans, but it's because we're here and we're sinning. Did you know that? So yeah, it's groaning under the weight of this sin. And it's a messed up place. When this is not the way God created the world. You know, they did not have sub-zero temperatures in Eden, the Garden of Eden. It was nice. Perfect. But that's not the way it is now. It's different. You're dealing with a cursed world. You're dealing with an enemy that's walking around, wants to take you out. You're dealing with crazy people that are yielding to him, yielding to the ways of the world. And so you're going to have challenges. I'm not saying they're coming from God. God is not causing things to happen, but you're going to bump up against some stuff. That's why God said, the word says that we'll have victory. Well, you can't have victory if there's no challenge. Right? I'm victorious. Over what? Well, I just am. You know, it could be a big victory, small victory, but, you know, there's got to be some kind of challenge for you to be victorious. But people don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I mean, you know, I'd wish it was just now that we've heard the word, we've heard that God wants us to be victorious, that now we don't ever have to fight any battles. That'd be awesome. And people get that idea. But if you have that idea, you know what people end up, ends up happening if you think that way? If people think that way, they start going that, and then they're surprised if they're having a challenge because they think, well, I've heard the word, everything's up to God. I don't have to do anything. And so God will just, he'll just keep anything from happening. He'll protect you. But like we're going to look at some scriptures, he's protecting you and helping you in the midst of the challenge, in the battle. It does not say he'll deliver you out of everything so that nothing will ever happen. He's not orchestrating it. He's not making the challenges come. It's just that we live in a fallen world and you're going to bump up against some stuff. But if you think that you'll never have a problem, you know what happens? God, and if you think God is doing everything and bringing these things into you, why isn't he keeping you? You'll start being angry with God. And this is where a lot of people are. Because if you think everything is up to God and you don't have to do anything, well, you're going to be disappointed. And whose fault is it then if there's problems? It's God's. You're going to think, if you go down that line of thinking, if I have a challenge, God, why didn't you do something about this? And so you're going to be mad at God. And there's a lot of people that are mad at God. Make no mistake. They're really mad at God. They take it out on people. They take it out on any number of things. They take it out on churches. They take it out on ministers. They take it out on their family. They're mad at God. They're mad at him because something happened and they think he did it. He didn't keep them from it. But he said we'd have victory. We're talking about the spirit of victory. But we got to understand this stuff. If you think you're going to have the spirit of victory, oh, I'm victorious until I have a problem, then you're not ever going to win because you're like, well, I'm victorious, but why? I didn't think I'd have to actually fight. You laugh. But this is a common mentality. Brother Hagin tells the story of a man, I think it was in his church. He was a deacon. Or, you know, an elder in the church or a minister. He wasn't a minister, but he was a person that had been there for a while. But they were singing this song about victory, and it's one of their favorite choruses. And they were singing about how, you know, you can cross any river. What I can't remember the exact words, but it was something about, you know, you can do anything, God will do it. And this guy was singing the loudest. And then they got in the car, and his wife tells him to, you know, their son's growing pretty fast, and he needs a new pair of shoes. And she goes, well, what do you think? I'm made out of money? We can't afford that. So he was just talking about how God can do anything, and we can go over, and then loses it over a pair of shoes. It would be funny if it wasn't so pathetic, but it's true. It's easy to be, oh yeah, we got the victory, praise God, we're going over, and then something in real life, and it can hit you on the way home. And you'll be tempted to say, what? I thought, wait, do we believe what the Word says or not? Oh, that's just in church. We get excited in church. But in the real world, I mean, just got to muddle through like everybody else, huh? No. I mean, if that's true, let's just pack it up and let's go home. Because this stuff doesn't work. The Word of God is not true. If it doesn't work in the real world against real challenges, what are we talking about here? Are we just fooling ourselves? We have a social club here? This is what we believe in here. But out there, you know, we know it's just the real world. No, this is the real world. What we're talking about with the Bible, this is true. Amen. You realize the world that we're in right now, it's all going to pass away. His Word will never pass away. Amen. This is true. So if we believe that He is going to bring us victory and that we triumph every time, then that includes any challenge. Because it says always, right? He always leads us in triumph. Always. Well, that means it doesn't matter what the challenge is. Doesn't matter what the weapon is. There's a song that says that. Doesn't matter what the weapon is, I win. No, but there are some things that are come. Let's look at some scripture. Now we went over some of these. We're going to go a little further. Is that all right? So let's look at your sheet. We may turn to a few of them, but right now we've gone through some of these. Maybe some of you weren't with us. You can go back and listen to some of these messages. I'm not going to take time to go in the depth, but I want to fly over some. Just look at them on your sheet. Luke 6:46 says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" That's what we were talking about in our last series, that being a doer of the Word. "Whoever comes to me," verse 47, "and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built the house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Now Matthew 7:24 is another account of, you know, the same illustration that Jesus is making, but it makes the parallel very clear that we emphasized in our last series, but I just want to go over it. Verse 24 says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." So Jesus is saying, whoever hears what I'm saying, Jesus is the Word. If you could say, whoever hears the Word, does the Word, he is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it didn't fall because it was founded on the rock. But verse 26 says, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So the person who didn't do the Word, it was like he built his house on the sand and it fell. But the thing here that I want you to take, that we've emphasized before, but just real quickly, is that the storm came to both people. Whether they were doing the Word, the person that did what Jesus said, he still was in a storm. You see that? Look at verse 24. "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them." Well, this is a doer of the Word. This is somebody that's he's heard the spirit of victory. He's heard that we're going to overcome, and he's doing it. But it just says, Jesus likens him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. So he's doing the Word. But look at verse 25. "The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall." Notice it didn't say he's built his house on the rock, so therefore there were never any storms. It didn't say that. Well, I'm a doer of the Word. I don't know why this is happening. Jesus said it would happen. That's right. Don't be surprised. Question is, what's going to happen as you go through the storm? That's the question. It's not if things are going to happen. That's not, don't get afraid. Don't say, well, you're just talking about bad things. I don't want stuff to happen. We're not, you're not calling the bad things to you. You're saying, you confess what the word says, that you are in health, that your kids are doing well. You're not saying, oh, these things are just going to happen to me no matter what, and they're going to take me out. You're saying, any challenge that rises its head up, I'm coming over.
Amen.
You're not looking for it. You're not being afraid of it. You're not saying, oh, no, something's happened. Don't be afraid. You're just saying, if something raises its head, I'm going to come over it.
Amen.
But don't sit there and go, nothing is ever going to raise its head. That's not Bible. There are going to be, we'll just keep reading some scriptures, all right? Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So this guy, he's not doing the word anyway. Okay? He hasn't heard. Maybe, you know, he heard, obviously. He says he heard it, but he didn't do it. If you didn't hear it, you're not going to do it. So he hasn't done anything. His house is built on the sand. Guess what? Storm came to him. If you read verse 25 and verse 27, same sentence, exactly. Up the description of the flood. The rain descended, the floods came, winds blew, beat on the house, and what? Fell. So the guy that's doing the word went through the storm, made it. The guy that wasn't doing the word went through the storm, didn't make it, but they both went through the storm. Psalm 46, we read this one, 46 verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. When? In trouble. Well, what if I thought there wasn't going to be any trouble. See, you need help when you're in trouble. You need help when you're not in trouble. You need help so that you get your mind straight so that when the trouble comes, you're ready. Okay? But you need help in trouble. What the Bible says, he's a very present help in time of trouble. Verse 2, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. See, you're not going to fear, even though major stuff is going on. Though the mountains be carried off in the midst of, carried in the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Even with all this stuff, we're going to be strong. Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Wait a minute. Why would you ever need a defense if you're never going to have a storm or never going to have a challenge? Why do you need a defense? Huh? Why do you have a defense? It's because you're going to have somebody coming at you. Something coming at you, right? Otherwise, you don't need a defense. Because you never have an attack. It's not what the Bible says. In fact, it says a whole lot about being ready, putting on armors, etc. But verse 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. See, he's my defense. There might be some stuff coming, but I'm not moving. That sound like the house on the rock? I'm not moving. Winds blow, stuff's happening, but I'm not moving. See, that's a whole lot different than I hope nothing happens. Oh my gosh, something's happening. Oh no, what are we going to do? That's not knowing that God will bring us through. That's fear. That's thinking the storm's going to take you out. We're talking about the spirit of victory. We're talking about you coming through no matter what. Getting so strong in God and what he is and who he is in relation to us, it doesn't matter. We have no fear. Doesn't matter what comes up. All right, it's here. I didn't want to have to do this today, but I'm going over. I'm going through. It will not take me out.
Amen.
And not just giving lip service to something. But we mean it. It's coming from within. We're strong. We believe God is our helper, and we will not go under. That's what we're talking about. That's what the word that we're putting in right now will produce if we'll yield to it and listen to it. Psalm 91. Let's just stay on your sheet there. I'm not going to take time to turn there. We went through this. You could spend, you know, a long, long time on Psalm 91. But I'm bringing a specific point here. Looking at the different challenges and the language that Psalm 91 gives. Psalm 91, I mean, thank God for it. It's you ever You know, you have loved ones that are deployed or, I didn't make a big deal about it. My brother was deployed for a year. He just got back. When did Uncle Steve get back?
July.
You know, he was over in the Middle East, but thank God he and his whole 90 people came back. Fine. But, you know, Psalm 91, you believe that, and you can you believe what it's saying over your loved ones, over your family. You know, it is a psalm of safety, but it's in the middle of some stuff going on. Verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now notice, verse 2, he is my refuge and my fortress. Well, what do you need a refuge and a fortress for if you're never going to have anything come at you? What's a fortress for? It's to keep people out. Well, it says God is our refuge and our fortress. In my God, in him will I trust. Notice, it's in him we're going to trust. I don't care what our weaponry is. I don't care what we think our money is going to buy. We need to trust in the Lord. You think, Bible says over and over, you think your money is a strong, you know, high wall. No. Money can be taken out really easily. One lawsuit can misstep. No, don't trust in money. Trust in the Lord and his help. You don't trust in military might. Thank God. And we've had a godly country. And why do we have the weapons? Some people are ignorant. Why we just do away with weapons? There are other people that you want to kill us. You need to have a strong military. We don't want to have to use it, but it's a deterrent. And make no mistake, there are certain people in the world, they don't listen to talk. They're thugs. But they do listen to force. It's just wrong when people have a misunderstanding. People, if you look in the Word of God, they had a strong military, Israelites, but if they started trusting in that, it did not work out well. On the other hand, as long as they had God on their side, they didn't have to outnumber the other side. Okay? But they didn't just say, hey, let's just talk everything. I'm not against diplomacy, okay? The Bible isn't either. But there are certain people, they don't want to talk, and they won't listen to it. Just a side thought. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, in my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Notice there is a pestilence. Verse 4, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Why would you take refuge? Just sunny day, you're laying out on the beach. Take refuge under my umbrella from the sun. No, we're not talking about that. Stuff going on. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Verse 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. Are these real things? Well, I thought there wasn't ever going to be anything. It's good to talk about being delivered, but what are you being delivered from? There's stuff going on. This is reality. Nor, verse 6, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Look, there's a lot of junk in the earth today. You know, all kinds of disease. And there's, you know, our antibiotics that we've used over and over. There's things that are getting immunity to these things. You know, if you just look at the natural, you could be afraid. If we're trusting in drugs, what if the things don't respond to the drugs anymore? Well, you don't trust in drugs. Then say, you know, you be led on what things you use and don't use. You need to be led. We're not against medical science whatsoever. But you don't just take a drug just to trust in it. You need to be knowing that that's what you need to take. Don't trust in a man more than God. You don't ever take a treatment just because somebody said. I'm not saying you avoid doctors' advice, but you got to be led on the inside. You realize people have died on the operating table on something that was recommended for them. Don't ever override the inside. If you have a clearance, then don't be condemned. If it's the right way where you're at, then just move forward. Don't get caught up with how you get well. Just get well and be led by God. Everybody's at a different place. There is no condemnation. Did you hear me? You be led. It's between you and God, how you walk things through. But you don't rely on what men can do for us, because they can't handle everything. They can't cure everything. Thank God for what medical science has done and where we are, but there are things they can't handle. We don't know yet. What do you do in that case? We just throw up our hands and say we're dead? No, we trust in the Lord. It doesn't matter if there's a plague that's taken out everybody. We can trust in God and it will not touch us. But the Bible does not tell us the plague will never come. It says when it comes. If it's out there, you trust in Him. Look at verse 6. Nor of the pestilence. You'd not be afraid of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. See, it's happening, but it just doesn't take you out. Amen. Thank you. Well, it can't happen. It can't happen. No, if it's happening right in the midst of it, you say, I'm coming through. That's a big difference. Where is our trust? It's a question to ask us. Where is our trust? People say, well, you know, I'm so glad we don't live 200 years ago. They couldn't handle these different diseases. Oh, so we're trusting in our vaccinations and stuff. I'm not saying don't get them. You be led. But if we're trusting, you realize if stuff quits responding to the things that we're using, we're no different than we were 200 years ago. It's just at an advanced level. Now we got stuff that we can't handle, and it's going around. And people can start dropping like flies. Not saying that to scare you. We just can't get, we have to know whom we believe. We got to know. Something's happening with your child. You don't want to put the life of your child in another man's hands. I don't care how skilled and how good they are. We need to be led by God, and is this the right thing? And I'm trusting you to bring me through, and if I'm going to have the surgery, but I'm believing God's hands on that surgery. God's hands guiding that surgery. He's giving him wisdom. They're going to recover quickly. Don't say, well, you know, I was going to believe God, but I'll just go medicine. No, you do both if that's where you're at. You go to the doctor and you believe God. It's not ever either or. If you're going to go under a knife, you are believing God. Right. Amen. Amen. But we don't trust in methods, in science, in drugs. Well, you know, I'm just taking the drug now, so I'll just let it work its course. I don't have to do anything. No, you believe. You're taking it because you believe that's the right course, and you go for it, and you believe, I'm coming over. Your end game and your goal is, I'm coming through this. This is going down, and I'll use every weapon at my disposal. What's the goal? It's that you stay in the game. Hallelujah. But my point is, this stuff is coming. This isn't like a rosy, hey, the beach, waves, the wind, you know, just gentle breeze. It's 73, 4, 5, balmy, and nothing ever. Don't need any refuge. Nothing happened. Is that the picture that you're getting right here? No. It says, verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come near you. Verse 8, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. So if it comes, you say, no, it has no right, and you tell it to leave. You don't say, oh, well, it came, what's going on? No, you say, no, this has no right. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. Verse 14, this is the Lord talking. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Deliver him from what? From stuff. You don't need to be delivered if nothing's going on. But the good news is God said he would deliver us. He says, I will set him on high because he has known my name. Notice it's not happening for everybody. For people that are believing him. Verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him. Where?
In trouble.
In trouble. I'll be with him. In trouble. Well, there's never going to be any trouble. That's not the Bible. You can read more scriptures after this. Good news is, God's with us in the middle. He didn't bring the trouble, but he'll bring us through the trouble. Amen. And he never loses. Amen. How often do we triumph? Tell me again. Always. That's the spirit of victory. You're not going to lose. You have a spirit of victory, it's like, I'm coming through this. Oh, but it looks pretty bad. That's no trouble for him. I'm trusting him. I'll come through. You watch. Yeah, but doesn't look good. Okay, here's one thing we got to know. Ultimately, I'm going to be with Jesus anyway, so I win. I don't care if you do get taken out. I still win. That's not losing. I win. You got to change your thinking if you don't believe that. You're not going to care anyway. You get there, you're going to forget about the worries. What about my family? You know what? God is God. He's still God, even if you're gone. You're not the Lord. I'm not saying you're going to die. I'm saying change your thinking. Don't be afraid of dying. Don't be afraid of going to be with Jesus. Get that out of your head and now start taking care of business here. Because you're trying, it's like trying not to lose. Have anybody ever played a sport? There's a big difference between trying not to lose and trying to win. Playing to win. You start playing not to lose, you know, you're trying to hold a lead. Let's not make any mistakes. You're looking the wrong way now. You're trying not to make a mistake. Well, when you try not to make a mistake, what's on your mind? Mistake. That's different than I'm putting the, you know, like I played soccer, I'm putting the ball in the back of the net. You're still playing to win. Well, you'll do stuff. You just pile it on. But you start playing to lose, now they get another score. Now it intensifies. Now they're only, you know, one goal away, or, you know, now you're starting to get intense. Well, if you go to with life like that, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to die. I mean, so you start doing stuff not to die instead of to get well. That's two different, those are two different things. The goal is to be functional. The goal is God, you know, saying God can take out, he can bring me over anything. Amen. So I will deliver him and honor him. Verse 15, let's read the whole thing again. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So there you go. With long life. I will satisfy him. If you're not satisfied, you don't need to go. Amen. If you're not satisfied, you don't need to go. That's another sermon. But you need to know there is not a set time. It says there is one time. You are all going to die. We're all going to die. But God does not determine that time. Otherwise, you couldn't lengthen your days. There's things that say you will lengthen the days. You will shorten your days. No, God does not determine that. We determine it a lot, and it says he'll satisfy you. Now, move on. Let's move on. Praise God. Psalm 23. We're going to keep going. My intent is to get through several of these. You can just preach on every one of them, doing my best to stay on. Psalm 23. Now, we haven't covered this, but I want to just read through it. Just go ahead and look on your sheet. We're staying in Psalms. Keep everybody on the same page, literally here. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Do you think you feel some stuff in the valley of the shadow of death? Does that sound like a good place? A place you want to just camp out. But the psalmist David saying, yeah, even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I won't fear any evil. I'm not going to be afraid. It says, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It means I'm right in the middle. People that don't like me, they hate me. I'm going to set up a meal here. Why? Because you don't scare me. And I'm coming through. I don't care what you think you're so bad. No, you're not going to take me out. You seen who my father is? Huh? Do you realize what family I'm in? You don't have to say that, but you just look like it. I mean, you're making a... These guys are trying to intimidate you, and you're like, I'm eating lunch, pal. You can watch if you want. You start making a table? That's confidence. It says, you prepare. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. This is victory. This is fatness. It's strength. 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look at Psalm 107. 17, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. What if you messed up? What if it's you? You know it was your fault. You know you did something wrong, and you're dealing with the consequences. The time to just throw up your hands and say, well, I did it wrong, so I guess I just have to deal with it. No, fools. You know, if we didn't listen to God, the Bible calls us a fool. And if we were a fool, we need to acknowledge we were a fool. God, that was stupid. I shouldn't have done it. That's okay. We say, I messed up. Get up. It's not, well, I just messed up and I have to deal with it. That's not a good place to say. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. They drew near the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So there's stuff that happens, even you did something that you shouldn't have. Thank God his mercy's there. Then you can cry out to the Lord and say, that was stupid. God, help. And he said he would. Amen. Psalm 34, 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. How many?
All.
Tell me again, how many?
All
their troubles. So you got to turn to him, though. You know, there are people, they're not going to turn to him. They don't believe he exists. They mock us. Think we're poor, stupid people that need religion as a crutch. Well, the Bible calls that person a fool. You're going to say the God of the universe doesn't exist? Well, everybody's going to find out at some point. But I choose to believe he's real now. He's already proven too much to me. I know. You can't convince me he's not real. But the righteous cry out, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, Thought we weren't supposed to have any problems. Well, I guess I missed God because something's happening. Just because you have a challenge does not mean you miss God. Could. It could mean that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. So you don't discern whether you're in the will of God based on how much trouble you have. Now, ultimately, if everything is always going bad and the outcome isn't good, you ought to question it. But just because you have a challenge and you come over it, that doesn't mean you went the wrong way. Otherwise, Paul, he spent his whole life going the wrong way. Because he had lots of challenges, which we're not going to go into now. No, but he was victorious over them. All the time. It's like one of my instructors at Rhema said. She said, if Paul was half as sickly as some people teach he was, there's no way he could have done all the stuff he did. Amen. I mean, just kind of going through people. I mean, the man went through all this stuff. He just keeps going. No, he wasn't all sickly. Well, people couldn't do that. I mean, he got beat up and left for dead. He probably was dead, and they probably raised him from the dead, and he shows up in another place preaching. That's pretty strong. That's not like, oh, you know, God's afflicted me. No, that's not that. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Praise God. Go ahead and turn quickly over to 2 Corinthians. We're wrapping up. 2 Corinthians 4. This is Paul writing this. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Everybody there? 2 Corinthians 4, 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Does this sound like he's on the beach? We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, but that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. So he tells you why some of these things are going on. But he says, verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. We're getting pushed. See, stuff's there, but it ain't taking us out. We're going to talk more about that. Emphasis is today, are we seeing that there's stuff in this life? Even for a godly, a Christian that knows the Word, that believes in faith, are there things that are going to come? Now, you don't call them. You're not wanting them. You're believing, and you say, no, I come over anything. I'm healthy. Well, then, but what if a symptom show up? See, this is what we're talking about. We'll get to it. But we're not saying that we just look for problems to happen, and no matter what, we're just going to get problems. No, there's stuff that's going to come. If you believe, you're healed. If you believe that Jesus is your healer, and then you have a symptom of something, do you throw it away and go, well, I thought this wasn't supposed to happen. God, why are you letting this happen? What's going on? I mean, I've done everything. No. That's when you say, you find out what you believe. You have a challenge. Then that's when you say, oh, no, this may look a certain way, but he himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I'm coming out. That's when you go over. Amen. We'll get to that more. But we're talking about the fact that there is some stuff, okay? We've covered enough scriptures that there are things that are going to happen. We got to get rid of this mentality that it's God's fault if something happens. That's when you got to gear in and come against it. But look, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. There may be times you're like, well, this isn't the way I thought it would happen. Is that the time to throw it up and go, God, what's going on? No, you need to believe him. Okay, so there's some stuff going on that you don't understand. Is that a surprise? Are you omniscient? Well, I don't understand. Did you think you were going to understand everything, always? We're not talking about God throwing you a curveball, because people get wacky with, well, God works in mysterious ways. Well, he works according to his word. He's not in charge of everything. Certain things are happening, but you got to know he's right there with you, going, well, God, what's this? Why are you doing this? Why are you saying he's doing it? There's junk going on, and that's the time to say, look, it's happening. It's the time to have the right mentality. I'm trying to hold back from going to the next step, but we just need to, what we need to get today is that there's going to be stuff, and we don't fall off our chair because something challenged us. Verse 9, we're persecuted. Now go back the previous one. So we're hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're persecuted. Or perplexed, but not in despair. Could preach on every one of these things. We'll probably come back to this because I really want to get into it about our attitude going through. But just notice, Paul said we're perplexed. Is there ever a time you could be like, gosh, this just wasn't exactly the way I thought it was going to come down? Does that mean you just totally missed it? Well, it could, but it could be just you don't know everything. That's when you stay with him. But he's not despairing. Notice that. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Got stuff coming against me, but I know who I serve. I'm not forsaken. Struck down, but I'm not destroyed. See, I got knocked down, but I get back up again. Amen. And then he goes on saying, always carrying in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in her body. And then he goes on to say, we're delivered to death for Jesus' sake. Not going to go and touch on that a lot now, but notice, why is he doing it? Just because, you know, God's just doing this stuff to him? No, he's bringing the gospel. If you're going to live a godly life, if you're going to believe God and walk according to what he wants you to do, there is a blessing that goes with it, and Satan cannot stop you. Did you hear me? He cannot stop you, and he knows he can't stop you. But if he can get you to quit, if he can get you to look at the circumstance and start getting you to get all upset and somehow think that God is fighting against you, he's trying to get you separated. And if we don't have the right mentality, which is the focus of the day, if you take one thing out of this, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago too, there are storms. It's how you react when they come. But there are going to be storms at times. That's not a bad confession. You don't fear them. If something comes up, it makes all the difference how you react and how you go through it in the midst of it. Do you start getting, you start saying, God, this wasn't supposed to happen. You're already on shaky ground at that time. Because you're coming against the one that's going to be your help. We need to get that not everything is God. If we're just dealing with there is going to be challenges. That mentality that somehow it's all God and we just float through and it's all up to God. No, you will end up at the place where you're going through something and you think God is doing it to you. That's why people get into this weird doctrine. God is doing everything. It's not what the Bible teaches. We're in an imperfect world. If you come up against something, you got to have the spirit of victory and the spirit of faith to come and say, I'll come through this. I might have got knocked down, but I'm up and I'm going over it. And you need to have that confidence that you're going to come through. You can't have that when you believe God might be bringing it to you. You won't. You're looking forward, but you're also looking over your shoulder. You're confused. That's where the enemy wants you. He wants you to question God. He wants you to say, well, why did God do this? Why? And get you confused so you stay right there and you sink. When we really have to brace ourselves and go, no, this is coming. I knew there'd be stuff like this. The Bible said it, and I'm coming over and through it, and this will not be the end. Hallelujah. That's the spirit of victory. Hallelujah. Just, you know what? If you just praise God. When you're tempted to clap, just praise God. Just say, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. It'll bring, it's the presence of God. It's different. Hallelujah. God is good. And He is victorious. And we are His children. We're in His family. He's our Father. So if He's a winner, guess what? I'm a winner. If He's always triumphant, and He said He causes us to triumph, well, I'm going to triumph. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go ahead and stand to your feet, please.